This morning I just sense that there is a lot of accusation in the spirit coming against God's people. Condemnation and accusation. And this morning I have the scripture in Romans 8 that who can bring a charge against God's elect? Amen. For if God is for us, who then can be against us? And I just want to declare this over us this morning. God is gracious and He's merciful and we all miss the mark. But who can bring a charge against us when we are with Jesus? He has forgiven us and He gives us grace when we are weak. Thank you, Father God, that in our weakness your strength is made perfect and in humility we can come to you this morning, Lord, and declare who can bring a charge against God's elect. If God is then for me, who can be against me? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you just wash away, blow away all accusations, Lord. Every bit of condemnation, Father God. Thank you that we are yours, Lord. Thank you that we are yours, Jesus. You make us new.
Psalm 51. O Lord, open my lips, and my mouth shall show forth your praise. For you do not desire sacrifice, or else I would give it. You do not delight in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. These, O God, you will not despise. And I just looked up that contrite. It just basically means a repentative heart. And what Retief was saying, it just sat with me because I was standing back and I just got this picture of different people being in different stages and different seasons, and some of us need to get onto a treadmill that God can actually train us, that we need to lose our spiritual fat because we've been sitting. Others have been on this treadmill and they've become fit, they've become ripped. Now God's like, get off of the treadmill. Just discerning the season, but I just really experienced that our hearts, just a humble heart in front of God. And also what Edna touched on.
While we were worshiping, I had a picture of a storm. We were in a ship and it was a storm and the clouds were black and there was lightning and thunder and we were looking at it and we were panicking. And God said, but look at the waters. I've laid my love on the waters and the waters are calm. So don't look at what you think are circumstances around you that are going wild and you're getting all anxious and whatever, because God has stilled the waters. He has made a way for us. He has made the way safe. And we go through life and things become overwhelming, but then we just need to look to God and His love for us and know that we are the loved of God. He's our Father and He only wants the very, very best for us. And He will calm the waters. Doesn't matter how many clouds and lightning and thunder and everything else is out there. Doesn't matter how wild it goes around you. God calms the waters for you.
Father God, we just thank you for speaking to us, Lord. Thank you for your Spirit, Holy Spirit. Thank you for just words of encouragement and words of direction. Thank you, Lord, that in the midst of storms in the boat, thank you that we can hear your heartbeat. We can hear what you're doing. We can see what you're doing. Thank you, Lord, that you lead us to streams of refreshment and peace. Thank you, Father God, that you help us discern the seasons we're in. Help us to have humble hearts, Lord. And Lord, I just also agree with those accusations. I just, as Karen was speaking, I just sensed, are we actually clothed with a new man? And I just want to pray, Lord, that we be clothed with a new man, that we'll be clothed with Christ daily. Lord, us as a people, that we'll be clothed with Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be clothed with Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we'll be clothed with a new man, clothed with Christ daily, in Jesus' name. Pray it over us as a people. We thank you for that, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Thank you, guys. Thank you for the addition, Kunrat. Welcome. The Fick family has, they've just been, it feels like they've been here for years, and now all of a sudden I see He's here in the band as well, and they're just such a blessing in the best sense of the word. So we're just thankful for you guys. And obviously, to the old schoolers, Bernard, yes, I can all stick my deal funny furniture. It was really an awesome time in worship. Thank you, guys. We appreciate it. And Petri is actually doing this with 9 fingers. Don't know if you know that. miracle signs and wonders will follow those who believe. Petri plays guitar like that with 9 fingers. I struggle with 10. But that's a sermon for another day. Cecil, yes, welcome. Cecil will be bringing the word this morning. Now, I can stand here and say we've known each other for 35 years, etc., but we don't. But I had the privilege where she shared at our Theology Institute or our SI Institute of Shofar way back, or a couple of months back, where she just shared a message with us. Petri was there the day. And so I can say I acknowledge and I saw the spirit that is in her, lives inside of me. And just the way in which she brought it over was one of authenticity and a realness. And it's something that I would love to be imparted to you guys. And so I just took the liberty to ask her, and praise God there was a date. I know she comes from the Free State, and I know that she studied theology. But I know that she's a lover and a follower of Christ, and that's all that matters to me. And the way that I saw the fruit in her life. So I'm excited to hear. Please open up your heart. Please make her feel at home. And please receive the righteous seed that the Lord's going to sow this morning. Dankie dat jy met ons kom deel, waardeer jy.
Yeah, thank you, Retief. It's really a privilege. I currently stay in Durbanville. That's the closest to the Free State I could get. Wellington will be more closer, but I was like driving this beautiful road. Yeah, and it's really a privilege to be here. And this morning in intercession, Retief also says, mag jy sommer thuis voel. And it's always so nice. I was like, where's Shofar? And then I just saw the banner, and I was like, yay, that is the turn, you know. And it's really nice to be welcomed into the bigger family. Yeah, but before we start today, I want us to share with the person next to you. If someone asks you today, who do you say God is? Or actually the scripture that says, who do you say I am? Just the person next to you. Maybe it's something that you really felt like your God has been faithful here, or just if God had to ask you, who do you say I am? What would you say today? Okay. So 2 minutes. Okay, I think we can probably speak a lot about who God is, but it's really a privilege for me to share today, and the title of the sermon today is Perspective. And I trust that the lens that we are currently looking for through Yeah, that God will come and do with that lens what He wants to today. And this morning, I at intercession, just a testimony. You'll see now, I promise I didn't change my scriptures after the intercession and everything that you guys said. But the first scripture, I want to focus on Moses today and what we can learn from the story of the Exodus and Moses specifically. And in Exodus 3, it says, and Moses asks God, but what will I tell the people? Who said this to me? What will I tell them to say? And he said, tell them, I am, said this, I am. And then in intercession, Retief says, yo, I just really feel the words the whole time, I am, I am, I am, I am, I am. And I was like, I am thankful that God lives, you know, and that is confirmation just of what He wants to share today. And just as we also heard now, the storms, and to really know today that God is bigger. And we know this in our heads a lot of time, that God is bigger, God is in control, and I wish I had time to hear what you guys said, who God is for you today. But often, what we say is, we would say it's I am, or but a lot of times we think, me personally as well, and God is that as well, is that He is our Father, or He is our Savior, or He's, but that is very much still based on us, you know? What can He do for me? He's my Savior. He can save me. Hallelujah. He's my Father, so I can be in His house. Or He is my hope. Oh, I can have hope. But I trust that we can also fix our eyes on the Almighty, Sovereign, Holy God today, who is beyond everything, who is beyond our storms, who is beyond all that He even does. Praise God for us. And yet He is our loving Father. But that is a miracle in itself. For me, it's like Retief says also now, sometimes we're just like, you know, you don't exactly know what to get out when we speak about God. It's like this mysterious God. And I want to share a short testimony. I was 8 years old. And I started asking questions about religion since a very young age in my life. So at the age of 8, my parents sent me to the minister in town, and because I told them, yeah, I don't think I'm going to heaven, eh? And I was like 8, and my mom was like, nee, die kind moet hemel toe gaan, asseblief, wat dat doen me nie toe. Type thing. And I realized, like, but I can't just believe because you believe. I don't get this. Like, I don't know. So I was struggling with a lot of questions of trying to figure God out, you know, trying to, like, I am that, what? Is that what I get? Like, I am? Isn't there? What's more? Like, how can I systematically figure this out? Or, and who says we are the right religion? And so my head was all over the place. And it's such a faithful, such a awesome journey that God has just been walking with me. And I always thought, why do I think this much? But what I want to come to is that through all the thinking, through 7 years of theology studying, God is I am. God is I am. And all that I got to know is that I don't know. But that I believe in someone and a God who I believe does know. And all that I have to do is to be still and know. And that comes beyond my understanding. And it's a privilege for me to have studied theology, to come to the conclusion that I don't know. and to gain perspective, and to, if people ask me, but why do you think it's, and I was at the queer school, so Ross often jokes and says, I'm the dominee in the charismatische church, but I also think I'm quite a conservative charismatic, I'm something there, but a follower of Jesus, and He is beyond denominations even, and so yeah, it's really a privilege for me to be in a bigger family today, and I want us to go to the first scripture, and this is now our image of God. And when Moses, just the background before this is that Moses, God asked Moses, it's the burning bush, that he must go, and he heard the cry of his people in Egypt, the slavery, the Israelites, and he's asking Moses to go and lead them out of that slavery. So then, but, the word that we often use, but, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And so beautifully, the children of Israel. So yet it's this almighty God who told Moses, I will fight for you, but also the children. It's his children. There's a covenant, the almighty God. And then he said, but I will be with you, and this shall be the sign for you that I have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall serve God on this mountain. Then Moses said to God, if I come to the people of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you, and they ask me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, say this to the people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. And how beautiful is that? So often, we want answers. We want to know who we are. Moses asks, who am I? And God says, he didn't answer Moses who he is. He just said, I am. I am. So often, we want to figure out, God, who am I? What is my calling? What is my gifts? And you know the word calling in the Bible, I didn't do a lot of research on this, but there's a thing that says it only once. I think there's like 40 times or something, and only once it speaks about our occupation. God's will for us today is to bear fruit, to bear the Spirit's fruit, and that is patience, kind-heartedness, long-suffering. That is his will. And beyond that, God is. And I'm not saying this for us to be like, yeah, so okay. What are we going to do? Like, start being passive. God is, you know. But the thing is, that will stir in our hearts a lot. That will make us less overwhelmed. That will surrender control. Because sometimes we think we need to create the river we must jump in. But there's already a river. God just asks, are you willing to jump? Because I am, and I am already busy. But I need a vessel. Moses, will you go? Yeah, Jesus, but who am I? Ach God, who am I? Who am I? Don't worry about who you are. I am. And the I am is asking this from you. So you will be fine. And I will go with you. Trust me. But isn't that so hard for us? That is very hard. Thank you, Donnie. That is, yeah, just this morning I felt, I think that word of accusations was for me this morning. And driving here, and I was like, did I prepare enough for this? Did I that? And then the confirmation in intercession, and it was like, it's not so much up to you. Take yourself serious, but don't take yourself that serious. I have an appointment with those people. It's not so much up to you as you think. And that is liberating. That is not like, oh man, okay, so what, this is no money. No, that is liberating. That will actually give us courage to do more in God's kingdom. Ons sal meer kans sien. And there's two visions I want to share with you guys. And the thing that I really felt, and it's something that God has really been speaking to me as well, is to surrender control. To surrender control. Because that is putting a lot of burdens and yokes on us. Because we are holding on. We think it's up to us. And there's one vision where there's like a lot of handles that we are holding on. And you're holding on to another one and here. And then as soon as you leave one, or maybe you change jobs, or you have to move, or and you left it, and you're like, yo, I trusted God. But as soon as you left it, you're grabbing the next thing, the next handle. And then, oh, I'm so good, I trusted God again, and you grab the next idol and that. But we always have a back door. We always like, your God, I trust you, but... And the other vision was like someone juggling like a lot of balls at the moment. And you're juggling. I'm like, I'm going to let this fall. I don't know how long I'm going to keep this up. And you're juggling. And it's as if God says, let it fall. That's where I want it, on the ground. On the ground. Let it fall. And then I will show you which ones you must actually pick up in my time. But we love filling our calendars. And the word that he also says about the forest, and we hear everything but the stream. If you think about the story of the Exodus, the desert, I mean 40 years, if I'm in a waiting period, I always think, oh, please God, not 40 years. But I don't think God's in a rush. If you think about God, I don't know, if I think about Jesus, I've never thought of him rushing to the next town or running. God, our Almighty God, said, on the seventh day, I will rest. And with all respect, we're like, okay, God, he can rest, but we are fine. We can go. I rested an hour. Like, I had my middag sloppy. We can still go. But are we really children then? Or are we still the slaves in Egypt? If we have that mentality, it's up to us. So we can go to the next slide. So the first thing I wanted to, before we say that, is just our image of God. And usually... Ross always laughs. I'm a practical theologian, so I always wondered, like, if someone asked you what was the sermon about, that you at least have something to tell them, because we're like, yeah, God is good. God is good. God is I am. And that is awesome if you get that today. But I want to help you with our hands to remember something of today. And the first one is like your middle finger. We have to start with that one today, because it is just God is I am. He is higher. He is bigger. He is sovereign. He is almighty. He is bigger than your storm. It's not so much up to you as you think. Moses asks, but who am I? Our first question we always ask, don't worry, I am. That's why you can go. He is higher than your storm. He is bigger. He is in control. Surrender. So that is the first finger, or the middle finger. But for today, the first finger. Now, the second one is remember. Stop. Think. It's like this finger. So think and stop a while. Listen to the storm. Ach, to the, not the storm. Maybe to the storm. I know God is bigger. But to the stream. Listen to the stream. And Exodus 15 is just after the 10 plagues. So Moses went and God knew that, I believe, like that he would have resisted. And God said, but I will bring 10 plagues. And I want us... just in terms of context, if we read this song and you don't know the context, I don't think we have time now to, but let's just read the first verse. I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. Okay, so just that for now. If we just read that and we don't really know the context of the scripture going before that, usually we ask, like, what is the most important word in that scripture, would you say? We can actually do that. I don't know. If you would say, let's just say I would give you a clue, the first two verses. If you would say, what's the most important word there for you? I have an I. Exalt. Sing. The Lord. Yeah, okay, so there's obviously not a, who are we to say what's right and what's wrong now, but for this purpose, the most important word in that is the first one, then. Why? Because something came before that song. What was the song about? Yeah, if I'm supposed to tell you a story today, and sing this song. If you ever had a show and someone gives you a bit of background before they sing this song, you appreciate that song so much more, and you have an image in your head, and you can. And sometimes we struggle with scripture. Why? Because the lens that we are looking through is it doesn't make sense. So there's a lot of things that you can do. For example, David Pawson, Unlocking the Bible. If you have free Wi-Fi, just in YouTube, say Unlocking the Bible, overview of the Old Testament. And then you go and see where the places are today, what they talk about in the Bible. And just to have a perspective, but back to the scripture. So then Moses and the Israelites sang this song to the Lord. So the 10 plagues, I want to tell you now about a bit of background. So Moses went to Egypt then and willing will lead the Israelites out of Egypt. But before that, there was 10 plagues. And we don't have to go through everything, but I want to just let us imagine today that every firstborn in every household will pass away tonight, in, let's just say, in table view. Every firstborn of every household. That will be, devastating and just thinking about this. There was a lot happening. That was one of the plagues. And then all the doors, like the Israelites were, you know, if they, how God protected them and, but this is mind-boggling sometimes if you think about these things. But then after the Red Sea has opened and the Israelites were led through by Moses, they sang this song. So on the other end, they sang this song. So if we read it now, I think they had like really a reason to sing this song. It says, I will sing to the Lord, for he is highly exalted. Both horse and driver he has hurled into the sea. The Lord is my strength and my defense. He has become my salvation. He is my God, and I will praise him. My father's God, and I will exalt him. The Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Pharaoh's chariot and his army he has hurled into the sea. The best of Pharaoh's officers are drowned in the Red Sea. The deep waters have covered them. They sank to the depths like a stone. So sometimes I ask myself in Exodus 14 verse 14, I believe, it says also like where God told Moses, I will fight for you. And where Moses also doesn't want to go if God doesn't come with him. If his presence doesn't follow, he doesn't want to go. And sometimes if I think of what I am lacking faith in, you know, it's like, God, will you come through? I don't know. It's hard to put out my trust again because I've been disappointed maybe. Or then I think, yo, what has God, wat het die Here al gedoen in die verlede? And what can he do? Aren't we limiting God with what we are trusting him for? If he could have done that. And if we just think about the perspective today again, the eternal perspective, where are we forming part of this story? This bigger story, this from Israelites coming through, where are we today in this bigger story? So after that, Jesus came. We know that Jesus came and we are redeemed and we today, Moses had to ask also, who am I? But today, you know, It's such a beautiful picture of God's covenant with his people. God, the creator, and then he came, and the people keep on rejecting. I mean, there was a reason for them that they stayed 40 years in the desert. But that doesn't intimidate God. Instead, God just comes closer. What does he do? He sends his son. He's coming to earth. And then we reject them again. The people reject him. What does he do? He comes closer. He sends his Holy Spirit not to live beside us, but in us. We become the temple. So the more we reject, the closer it seems God is getting. But this is actually such a vulnerable story, because the Bible says we can even quench the Holy Spirit in us. It's not like God is not sensitive. It's not like God is not suffering on the cross. It's not like God's heart is not broken for what is going on around you. But we are living in a falling world. But He wants to use us today. And you don't have to be perfect to be used. Because it doesn't seem like no one has ever had to be perfect for Jesus to use, if I read the Bible. But somehow He decided to love us. And the hardest thing for us is to receive that love. But before we do that, we don't really have something to give. What we give is trying to find affirmation, trying to find I am good enough. So we serve and we serve and we serve instead of, Jesus, I know there's a lot of accusations I can say today. I know there's a lot of things I don't trust you. I know there's a lot of handles that I keep on holding on, but help me. And you know, I receive your grace. Because so often we say, yo, I want to come at the place where I feel like a son, where I feel like I receive the grace. But we have to speak it out loud and say, I receive it, Jesus. I am a daughter in your house. I am not a slave. Thank you that I form part of a story of slavery that's been delivered ages ago. And then Jesus came, delivered again. Holy Spirit empowering to do the work. And we will do even more than Jesus Christ has done on this earth. It says also in the Bible, we can do even more. He wants to do more through us. But we are like, wait, this battle that I face currently. So I believe He's really challenging us. But we must stop sometimes, think, reflect, sing a praise song of what just happened. Moses could have just crossed the Red Sea and like, what's next? Okay, Canaan, Ikomons, the land of milk and honey. But no, they stopped. They praised God. They reflect on what just happened. And sometimes we get overwhelmed and we grab the new thing and a new thing. But we don't stop and think, what has God said already to you? When you didn't feel so overwhelmed like you do at the moment. When you were at a space where you had more clarity. Or what did God say then? Stop, reflect. Go back to the promises. The place where you felt like this is what I lost. This is what I heard lost. And this is the clarity that I have. And stick through with that. It might take 40 years. But go back. Don't jump to a next thing. Trust God that He is faithful. But He's not in a rush. Because why? Because I think God looks through a whole different lens than we do. The perspective thing. The eternal perspective. And we want a quick fix around us, you know? Time is running out. McDonald's, KFC, drive-through. It's like, Can I get one answer, please? And a family pack of questions that we can ask at the next small group. And can I? Okay, thank you. No. What God longs for is intimacy with us. And I shared a sermon the other day and about Noah. And this is a 2-minute sidetrack. But before Noah built the ark, it says, go and read Genesis 6. I never read that. It says, Noah walked with God, and he was blameless and righteous in his generation. Before the building, before God asked him to build the ark, it says, Noah walked with God. And you know what Noah means? The Hebrew name for Noah means rest. That is amazing for me. The guy in the Bible who built the ark, his name means rest. Are we still building from a place of rest? Are we hearing God's heartbeat? Or are we running like headless chickens, just grabbing on, trying to have control, trying to get security in something? And it is terrifying. A leap of faith is that which you cannot see. It is, I call it bungee jump moments. But aren't we missing out not taking them? Aren't we missing out holding on to everything? And if we go to the next slide, Hebrews 11 verse 25 to 26 is also something we can learn from Moses. And I want to read that through the New Testament lens. We see that Moses chose to be ill-treated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a short time. He regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as a greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead to his reward. So the story of Moses, in the beginning, all the sons were killed by Pharaoh, and then his mom put him in the basket in the river, and then Pharaoh's daughter found him, and Miriam was there, and she said, "Must I call an Israelite lady?" And it was his mom who could have raised him. But then he grew up in Egypt. He was there with so much wealth. Why did he choose to leave that? Isn't that what we all think will be the satisfying thing? And sometimes we get very spiritual around this because we know the obvious of no man. We don't want to chase that, but we put a spiritual thing on it. And I don't know if you've heard this book, Good or God. So sometimes it's very, you know, disguised. The enemy knows you're not going to maybe fall for the obvious things, but he knows what's our soft spot. So what are the things that you need to let go on that river? His mother didn't know how it will work out, but God did. But she let go her son. She let go of her son on a river. And it's tough. I'm not saying that must have been easy. I mean, how hard must that have been to trust God in such a way? But he is faithful. And what did Moses do? He was living in this amazing palace, maybe, or, I mean, in Egypt with all the wealth, being raised by Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, the leaders of the day, he was there. Why did he choose to leave? Why did he choose to kill the Egyptian who hit one of his people? He knew who he was. So all of us, somewhere in us, we know this is not the place. This is not homecoming for us. There's something more. So we can run and spend a few months in the palace, but something in you will long for more. Something in you will be like, no, I have to get out of this. And I trust that we are willing to give that up so that we can sing praise songs like that. Crazy stuff happening if we trust God. So God is higher. He's bigger than our storms. Stop, think, reflect, praise him. And then the covenant. The covenant, this finger for a covenant, how God just keeps on coming for his people, coming for his people. We are so terrible, you know, but he just comes closer and closer. Adam and Eve in the garden. What did God do when they betrayed him? He came and said, "Where are you?" As if God didn't know. Where are you? So if God is asking you today, where are you? It's not because he doesn't know. It's because he wants you to know. Where are you? If he asks you today, surrender control. It's not because he wants to be spiteful. But it's because he wants to open a Red Sea for you. But you are okay with like the little things. So may we trust him today. And then the last one... So we can go to the... It's faith. And I gave the pinky. We're going to get to the sharp now. But the last one is faith. And it is as big as a mustard seed. So to remember the little one. So what makes faith great? Is it how big? Well, we can say, yo, daai is 'n groot gelowige, you know. But is it really that what makes faith great? Because why? It's as big as a mustard seed. But endurance, when Peter climbed out of the boat, he says, well, Jesus said, came to me. And how could he say, you have little faith in that moment? I mean, he climbed out of a boat. I'm like, that is quite big faith if you ask me. But Jesus is asking endurance. Jesus is asking consistency. Jesus is asking to run this race of endurance. Jesus is asking not a 100-meter sprint. He's asking a lifelong journey, an eternal perspective. And when we get that, I think we'll stop running. Because we won't be so rushed to get everything done and think it's so up to us. But faith, why is it so hard? And I love, there's actually too many things I'm saying maybe today, but I love to think like how we can, we always say grow in intimacy. Because how can we trust God more? How can we grow in intimacy? And I love to think practically how we can do this. And this is four T's. It's think, trust, transparency, and time. So the think is also think why you believe, why God exists. Through my thinking journey, Timothy Keller says, the lack of belief today is not because of too much thinking. It's because of too little thinking. Because if you think long enough, if you sit and you think long enough, you must think that there must be something more than this on earth. If you are in a very dark space, alone, no one around you, no wealth, nothing you can grab onto, and you sit in that space and you think, I truly believe you must think somewhere. Mustn't there be something more than what I'm seeing now? Even love, that is beyond understanding. So if an atheist maybe could tell his wife, I love you, he's actually acknowledging already there's something more than what we can see. And God is love. So it's actually, yeah, so amazing. But then trust. Practically think this week, what can we do? Something that, if that's like, where can you trust God practically to this week? To step out. To say, I can't. I feel like Moses asking, who am I? But I'm rather going to focus on, you are. And say yes. What do we have to lose? So the best way to see if you can trust someone is to actually trust them. And then transparency, vulnerability. If we're not willing to be vulnerable before a perfect God, how are we going to be vulnerable before people? And it was 3 years ago or something, I really felt this God asking me this, are you willing to be vulnerable before men because you're steadfast in me? Or is what everyone's saying around you shaping who you are? Or is it your identity in me? Are you different in different circles? Are you different at church or at home or at work? What is shaping who you are? The people around you or me? Are you willing to share your brokenness? Because there's a lot of people who's willing to come and share the breakthroughs. But there's not a lot to say, I am struggling, I am weak, Jesus help me. Identifying brothers and sisters walking together. And there's something about vulnerability in if someone cries or if someone is, you can see they feel like they are at the worst place in their life. And you are just smiling and you think, hallelujah, you are at the, this is so beautiful. I know you're going through a lot, but this is beautiful, you know. Why? What is that? What is that? It's realness. It's honesty. It's brokenness. It's Jesus come. I'm becoming less. He's becoming more. Who am I now? Who are you? And then time. To make time. To stop. To think, to make time for God. So this is faith and just practically growing in our faith. And then the last one is courage. So that is saying yes to Jesus. And I trust that we will say yes. And to know you can say yes because it's not so much up to you as you think. God doesn't need us. But he wants you to join in this adventure and to rather see it as an adventure than a burden. I was quite overwhelmed with ministry, and I was like 8 months in, and I thought, how do people do this? You know, ek is te selfsugtig vir pastoors wees of vir dien in die kerk of vir nie. And then I got into a relationship as well. It was like a double whammy, you know. It's like, man, so aware of my humanity and just selfishness and what I can also still grow in. But it's so liberating to be able to keep on saying yes, because it's not so much up to me, but up to God, and not so much. But yet, he wants to tell you, you are fearfully and wonderfully made. He knitted you together in your mother's womb. You have special gifts. But let not that become our first and primary focus, because we will fall in that. But let's remember who God is, and that those things are gifts and grace, but we can receive it. Let's close our eyes today. And I just want us to, if you are at a place where you really feel like there's certain stuff, what is the manger? What is that thing that you need to let go on the river today? I just want to end off in prayer for us, but I want us to bring that to God. You can maybe come after that, but then I just want us to end off in prayer. Oh, Father God, thank you that we can be still and know today. And sometimes we don't even know what that means, to be still and know, when everything in us is rushing, when everything in us feels like a storm. But I pray for that center of the storm. I pray for that, even if you feel like in a storm, that we will find rest in the middle of that tornado. That we will know you will never leave us, you will never forsake us. You are a good, good Father. And like that song said, I've seen many searching for answers far and wide. But you are the one who has the answers. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the great I Am. You are holy. You are sovereign. You are the God Almighty. You are bigger than every storm today. You are bigger than all our plans. We can plan, but you will direct the path. And we just commit our ways to you today again, Lord. We ask for courage to let go, to let go. And I ask, Holy Spirit, that you will come and show us what is the things that we need to let go of, that fear will no longer have a place. And I just proclaim today that you did not give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. And I pray specifically in this place for fear of failure. A fear of failure. Fear of stepping out, daring greatly. Fear of rejection. A fear of man. A fear of loneliness. A fear of a loss of security or finances that won't come through. You made money. You are not in time. You have time in your hand. I pray for a perspective today, God. I pray that we will see through your eyes, Lord. I pray and we repent for our tunnel vision that we have, and that we are being consumed by this and our culture. But we just lift your name up today again, Lord. And we say, you are the one we will trust in. Thank you that our lives are really too small and too much of a drop in a bigger ocean to live for. We want to live for more than that. We want to live for you, God. Holy Spirit, we pray for guidance, for comfort. I pray for every weary heart today in this hall. Thank you that you are the comforter. I pray for storms to be peaceful. Thank you, Jesus, that you are the Prince of Peace. I pray for every hungry heart that's searching for truth. I pray that they will meet Jesus Christ, because you are the truth. You are the way. So thank you, God. Thank you for every seed that's been sown today. And Holy Spirit, I pray that you will continue with the work you have started. We pray protection over this meeting and the blood of Jesus. And we just proclaim that no weapon formed against us shall prosper. In the name of Jesus. Thank you that you loved us first. We love you too.
I just want to finish with a prayer, Lord. Thank you for just speaking to my heart. Thank you, Lord, that we can, you know, just as was shared, Lord, take our eyes off ourselves, our limitations, the limitations around us. Just afresh this morning, put our eyes on I Am. I thank you for that revelation, Lord. Along with the entire high five that we've been giving this morning. But that we can just truly declare that you are I Am. I just sense there's, just with all eyes closed, I do sense that there might be one or two of us that want a, just a meeting with I Am. Just a fresh meeting with this living God. Thank you, Lord. You owe us nothing. You gave us your Son. I believe there's a place where we can humbly come and ask it. I want to meet with this I Am again. Just with all eyes closed. Just raise your hand if that is you. I just want that fresh. Amen. Thank you. Just raise your hand. Just say, Lord, yes. Like Moses, like Christ and Paul and all the rest, Lord. Like Noah walked with you. I want a meeting. I want a meeting in this season with I Am. I want the middle finger to be the middle finger in my life. Thank you, Lord. You see these hands. You see these hungry hearts. You see the thirst. Your word says, if you abide in me, I will abide in you. If you ask, I will answer. If you knock, if you seek, I will open. I will come. This is also beautifully said, Lord, that you are ever seeking God. Thank you as these hungry hearts just put up their hands. Thank you that you're ever seeking. We say, Lord, have your way in each one of these lives. Have your way. I Am, have your way. Have your way. Have your way. And as you pray, we prayed for them. I prayed for this church, Lord, that you be I Am. Forgive us. We repent wherever you're not I Am. We ask that you will be I Am in this church community, in this season and the next, in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, Amen.